control of the next hour or so. So plus, tell you a little bit of an overview as to some of the most common shilas come up in terms of Shabbos and the late taking care of infants and children. Obviously, to get to really get to the root of all these shilas, one has to learn Shabbos properly. We're left on the next this slot to learn through all the sikhs, and we'll try just to highlight a couple of important nekudas. So the first shilah we're talking about revolves around an issue of diapering, diapers on Shabbos. So the issue of diapers on Shabbos revolves around two possible malachas. The malacha of tofer, can you guys me back here? Yeah, a little bit, okay. It revolves around the malacha of tofer, or it revolves around the malacha of kereya. So, because we know one of the test malachas, one is not permitted to sew things together, one is not permitted to rip things that are sewn together. Malacha of tofer and malacha of kereya. Even though it's tofer and kereya, as here in the Mishkan, we're talking about cloth were sewn together, ripping the cloth was sewn together. The Rambam writes that the issue of kereya and the issue of tofer apply to two types of paper as well. If they're glued together, it doesn't really matter what the source of the connection is. Even if it's glue, tape, something that connects the piece of things, the potential problem of tofer, and separating between the two of them, there's a potential problem of kereya. The shalom becomes, anytime you want to type for a baby, you have both of these malachas that are looking you in the face. So let's just go through it step by step. So the bag's open. So you take out your pamper, you take out your diaper. So now you have to open the diaper. So the diaper for the uninitiated means that you have to separate the tabs, the adhesive tabs that are sticking together. So you have to separate that. So that's a potential malacha of kereya. Then you have to put them, put the baby under the diaper, put the diaper on. You have to connect the tabs together. So that's a potential malacha of tofer. Then, 20 minutes later, when you have to change the diaper, so you have to open that again. So nachum again, pass a malacha of kereya. So which of these three actions is going to be problematic? Maybe all of them, maybe none of them. So considering the malachas of kereya and tofer, there is a major machlokes in the Rishonim. Considering the malachas of kereya and tofer, whether there's a distinction between what's called the halacha of tefir shel kayama and a tefir she'ena shel kayama. We know that in certain halachas there's a principle of kayama. Something is done on a permanent basis, it's a problem. Something is done on a not such a permanent basis, it's not such a problem. Let's say the motion of halacha of kesher. So when it comes to tying knots at Shabbos, so we know that kesher shel kayama is an issa deraisa. The kesher she'ena shel kayama is sometimes not an issa deraisa, sometimes not even an issa derabanan. How precise you define kayama and other factors beyond the scope of now, but clearly there's a principle of kayama vis-a-vis the malach of kesher, vis-a-vis the malach of matir. So come to Mishnah and say that the same idea applies to tofer and kereya as well. That the only time that one is involved in the disadirais of kereya and tofer is only if it's shel kayama. And other Mishnah say it's not true. Mishnah say there is no such cloud. Kumar doesn't tell us such a cloud. Therefore, we have no right to extrapolate it with other malachos. But nice that the Ramah says 2 days about this, and the Ramah concludes with a strange lashon. He writes, "Ein lahatim b'tam haaretz." One shouldn't be so make, shouldn't be making on the shayla. Then he posts can point out, but the Ramah really holds it that it's mutter. That's what about the maratim. This b'chashim the Ramah maratim signed up with the Ramah. Whatever this was close to the Ramah. Okay, so we have a right to make bigger than it's mutter. There are some posts who say that the Medrash Rambam Murim that the Ramah didn't want to be making. That's why things like real sewing, taking a needle and thread, which is a real mekoya, it's called tofer and kereya, so it's very not shabbistic, so therefore the Ramon was afraid to be made. But other kinds of kereya tofer, such as with the Rambam's category, medabik neoros, even though it's also deraisa, it's also shab deraisa, but since it doesn't look so bad and not such a mikshol, so therefore perhaps the Ramon would be making even mechatchila. So we're going to work with that assumption right now, so many folks can assume that the ikimikra didn't we paskin, the kereya tofer, she'ena shakayama, is really going to be mutter. If this is the case, and now we can reevaluate the shayla in terms of diaper. So let's say, for example, the following. A person has a diaper open for argument's sake, and he wants to fasten the adhesive tabs onto the baby on Shabbos. So is that called shel kayama? Is that called ena shel kayama? So we know from Hilchos Kosher that usually anything that's less than 24 hours is by definition ena shel kayama. So anyone who has a diaper baby knows that there's no way that this baby is going to stay in his diaper for 24 hours. If it does, then they should call you for lock you up for child abuse. So the halacha is that since the passing of the tabs is clearly going to be in a shachayama, the baby's clearly going to be undone in a few hours from now, who knows. So according to that day of the Ramadha, Tefir Shem Shachayama is mutter. So no one has a right to be makel. What about when the baby is dirty now and you want to undo the diaper? So clearly, once again, that's called the Koresh in a shachayama. Since the tab was not there for more than 24 hours, so presumably that should be okay. So the putting the diaper on the baby, taking the diaper off the baby, the chara, we can be makel, if you want to be makel on Tefir Shem Shachayama. The problem is, the original opening up of the diaper seems to be a much more serious problem than you initially open up the diaper. So how can you say that's called the Vinkarei Adav Shino Shukhayama? It's been together for 6 years. So from the day that parent was made 20 years ago, so it's been stuck together. So the Chavad should be called the Karei of the Tvir Shukhayama. So here many Echmanim of the Chiddish, many Echmanim say that even though in terms of on the clock, this particular Tvir has been together for more than 24 hours, since it was made up past to sell to a customer, and the customer could theoretically open it whenever he wants, as soon as it's manufactured by the Pampers, so I could theoretically go to the store and open it up at a moment's notice. Pile of mice was sitting on the shelf for 10 years. Mice was sitting in my house for 10 years. That's irrelevant. The Tefir is called the Tefir She'en HaShukhayama. Since it's only the kach, theoretically, it can be opened up at a moment's notice. So if one is willing to accept that somewhat watered-down version of Tefir She'en HaShukhayama, they can buy it together with the Ramah, who says that the tradition of Shechayam is Mikra Dimutar, so then the Chayyam would be Ma'atim, you open your clothes at night as it whim. So that's what the Olam basically relies upon. And a combination of these two rules. The number one, Rabbi Tzvi Machria, like the Ramah, that tradition of Shechayam is Mikra Dimutar, combined with the fact that this is also the tradition of Mikra Dimutar, because it was made of Kach to be opened, so one who's willing to combine the two rules will be able to be Ma'atim, the opening of clothes and diapers under all circumstances. Not everybody is so thrilled with the combination of those coolers. There are some folks who weren't happy with the first cooler, some folks who weren't happy with the second cooler. So there are others who make a base on another svara. There are others who suggest that maybe the original list of the Rambam of the Davik Tiaras only applies when it's something that's really, really stuck together. You have to really work on it, yank on it, mamish, rip it apart with the Elm's glue. So maybe only the Chiyagam, is that called the Davik Tiaras, or is that called Mafik Ben Amiaras? When you have a diaper, then any 3-year-old kid can still put up the hisap and the strip. So maybe b'chalal, that's not considered to be a 2-year-old together. That's another sniff, somewhat to be makel. So the mice of the minigolem is to be makel. Most people are makel of the diapers and Shabbos. A combination of these two, factors. The minigolem at home is that the diapers are open on Shabbos. We'll see by who, but the diapers are open on Shabbos. The minig is odd. There's another issue that comes up in terms of.
Is there any difference between the diapers that used to be like band-aids that put the sticky stuffers and the new ones, which is more like a Velcro kind of thing?
There are some poskim who hold the cloud is not tefira altogether on Velcro, the caps off that way. So that would be a little bit more sad. Those will make more sense. There's another issue here.
If
you're
problems closing back up, you're not allowed to close it.
Like after you finish, yes, I should have mentioned that. Right? So after you finish, let's say you've already taken off the diaper. And the diaper is nice and full. So there are some poskim on Machmer that you shouldn't then go ahead and tie the tabs, throw them to the garments. And Makoshi, that's called the Tefir Shachiyama as well. Because there it's not just tying it together, you're sticking it together, you remain there with the open bud. So we learned with the Shabbos, you may remember, we went to the Shabbos. So we pointed out that not everyone agrees to that. Specifically, some poskim will say that I don't really care that it's going to be together with the open bud. I just want it to be together for the next 30 seconds while I get into the garbage. If now the incinerator opens up, that's my problem. That's the garbage man's problem. So there are some folks who hold even that's okay. So yeah, probably there's not such a big tzaras. I would say probably not to be making on that shayla. So I think that when you take off the diapers, and the more correct thing to do is just roll it up into a bag and just deposit it accordingly. But those who are mamish stick it together even at that point, yesh to be l'smach. There's another issue that comes up in terms of diaper and changing children on Shabbos, and that's the issue of wipes. So how exactly are you supposed to get to the point of the diaper in the first place? You have to clean the baby off. So what do you need to clean the baby off with? So during the week, most people use wipes. So wipes are a potentially serious problem of schita. I should have brought in all the exhibits over here. So basically what a wipe is you have this piece of strong paper kind of a thing that's balua, that's filled with all this kind of gook. Now that's very clear to everybody. What's it called? What's inside the wipe? We'll say alcohol-free, at least that's what Eric Pesach doesn't tell us. It's alavira, or some kind of a junk that's inside, there's balua inside the wipes. The question becomes, when I go ahead and I apply this wipe to the baby, so never going to be doing tzlita. Tzlita is a serious problem on Shabbos. I put on the be'alocha, but the be'alocha is a little bit of a background. What exactly is the problem with tzlita Shabbos? Tzlita may either be a problem for malabin, wandering, when I squeeze out an article of clothing, that's a problem of malabin Shabbos. Or sometimes tzlita is a problem of disha, that just as a nisim, they say to squeeze an orange on Shabbos, squeeze a grape on Shabbos, so to do a nisim, squeeze out something that has a liquid absorbed into it, and I want that liquid to come out. So basically, there are a lot of quotes from the Rishon, this is a famous Shibbutz, Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan points out that sometimes there's an issue of a lava, and sometimes there's an issue of hush, depending on whether you want to use the liquid that's coming out. If you're not really interested in the liquid that's coming out, you're only interested in cleaning the garment. So let's see, you're wringing out a pair of socks, you want to get the water out, and you want to clean the garment in the process, that's chita mishum lava. If you're interested in getting out the juice, you're interested in getting out something which is absorbed inside the salad, that's a problem of schicha mishum disha. So over here, when we're dealing with this aloe vera, the oil, whatever is inside, because that was absorbed inside the wipe, clearly the person's intention is not to clean the wipe. That's not what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is get out the liquid so that the liquid should enable you to clean off the baby. So the chavid, that should be a problem of schicha mishum disha. So this was a big machlekes in contemporary poskim, which at the end of the day boiled down to a metzias question: is the liquid, the oil, the aloe vera, whatever it is it really absorbed into the garment? Did it really absorb into this wipe or not? So those who are machlekes claim that it is. So therefore, it's mamish the halacha equivalent of squeezing out a cloth, which is a serious problem on Shabbos. And others will name it. Others said no, it's not really absorbed. Mashal about the vedoma, we find that the Gemara says that when it comes to hair, let's say you have a person wants to squeeze out the hair, they have oil or something or other things in the hair, they want to squeeze it out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that's not called tzchita d'arayis, that's only called tzchita d'rabbanon, but then tzchita b'seir. The reason being, the Rishonim explained, because nothing is really absorbed into the hair proper. Even though the Gemara says that it's still prohibited in the d'rabbanon, one can argue that that's only true because at least it looks like it's absorbed. That's a little bit of an appearance that's absorbed. Maybe you have something that's legami not absorbed, which is sitting on top of something, and you just rub it off. That's not considered to be schita altogether. This is the issue that the post discussed with any pot brushes and with any toothbrushes on Shabbos. Is that a problem at all? Some post wanted to ask the toothbrushes on Shabbos because of schita, because the water is like sayah, even though it's not literally absorbed into the bristles, but it appears to be like it's absorbed into the bristles. And others wanted to say no, but it's better than sayah, and that sayah at least isn't the rabbanon. I think the problem with schita, but the toothbrush and the pot brushes is not even a problem with the rabbanon. So there is really precedent in halacha when you have something that's not absorbed the chlal, so that's not considered to be schita. So here the Mekilim wanted to argue that wipes, the junk that's on the wipes, is not really absorbed into the wipe itself, it's just sitting on the outside, it's just kind of on top on the outside, it's not really considered to be a problem of schita. I don't know, it's very hard, between me and you, it's very hard for me to believe that Matthias, I don't know, you take a look at the wipe, it's not just soaked through and through, so it's very hard for me to believe that. That there's no schita that's taking place at all. On the other hand, there were very big poskim who were making. So for many years the policy in our home was the policy about the diapers. The policy was that I personally was very hesitant to use the wipes. So whenever I would change the diaper, whenever I would give the baby a Shabbos, so I would do the old style way. Turn the sink, and you use your hand, then that's what the holiday is. And the problem is the water's a little bit cold. So Baruch Hashem, we were Zolcha, that was a company in New Square that decided to put out a kosher mahadran baby wipe. So what did it exist of? It wasn't a baby wipe, it was a spray. She also brought it in. that they put out a spray, which basically was all the junk that's inside the baby wipe. So they put it inside, and you spritz it on the baby. You take a tissue and you wipe it around. So it accomplishes the exact same thing, yeah, as the baby wipe does. That was the plan of this particular company. It's even, you can find in the stores, it says on them in small, the letters on the bottom, made it in a new square. You know, the new old square, the old new square, the new new square, whatever it comes from, it was made in a new square. And it even says approved for use by a prominent poskim. I don't know who exactly they were, but Parshas Shemini Mutl Chaladeus. So I think what happens, everyone was born from us, take it. They finally decided, okay, we all have to be chazim and buy the stuff and forget the bank grapes. So I bought up a lot of them, and I was so excited. My wife used it once, and she said, you could send it back to New Square. So I don't know, whatever, she wasn't too thrilled with its, use. So I gave them out. Some guy was hacking me a Chinook about the baby wipes once. So I told him I have a wonderful gift for you. I gave him five of these bottles. Anyway, so again, there are different opinions in the folks about this. I tell you, I have to be honest, I'm not thrilled with it. I'm not so thrilled with the Messias, but there are Mekilim. So those who have such a tradition, or who made it such a tradition to be Mekil, those who have a feel that it's Mutter, so Yesh Lebe Mila Smart, but Lefin is Naiti, I'm not so excited about it, and it's hard for me to be Mekil, not right.
Depending on how much
liquor
comes out when you squeeze it?
Yeah, they start to pimple, you take the baby wipes out for Shabbos. If you take it out for Shabbos and there's no baby wipe, you might as well use a dry tissue. So if you take it out for Shabbos, I don't know.
How much
does
that?
It always comes out. If it doesn't come out, it won't clean the baby. So of course stuff comes out. In my house, baby wipes are still used. My wife is here yesterday. She has to come and give this second half of the share. I'm telling you what. Anyway. We have a policy. The policy is the unwritten policy in our home. The better for worse is anything that I think is mamash also mikra din is also for the entire family. Anything that I'm not convinced is also. Dole Aposkim who are making on it. Then wants to do whatever they want to do. There's a lot of whatever they want to do. That's the basic policy. We had an interesting application of that policy the other day. We were at the shop, so it was cashier. That for those of you who are there will appreciate this. That my wife made noodles in a chicken pot because we were eating slices that night. So Zaf wanted noodles and cheese. So we threw a total fit that he needs noodles and cheese. So my wife told him, noodles and slices, just put cheese in them. So he didn't exactly take that for an answer. So he went to the closet, he pulls out a box of noodles, he started to make his own noodles. But I'm not doing that. So I told him, okay, I'm going to take some noodles, put on a plate, you can put the cheese on, no problems, you can eat the cheese together with the noodles. So my daughter asked me, she said, what? That's flesh. She said, look, like, why are you letting him do that? So I said, well, it's a machlaik, it's a rishon, with an up and not their official as mutter. The machab is making all right. The machab, no, you're there. The machab are home, like most of the rishon hell. That just because somebody's cooked in a flesh, that doesn't mean that a flesh is. That's the davachar, that's what it is. So I said that up, and so he holds like the shulchan aruch. I said, what's it done? So I tried to explain that in the normal circumstances, that's not what our custom is, we follow the law, but we're very liberal in our home. Those who want to follow the shulchan aruch, so we have to follow the shulchan aruch. Another combination that comes up with me out of the realm of changing diapers and the realm of eating. So another common shah that comes up is a question of preparing food for children and Shabbos, particularly related to malachas that come to mind. So one malacha is a common problem involved with preparing food for children is the malacha of tochein, and the other is the malacha of lash. Let's try to get a little bit of a understanding of these malachas before they relate to preparing children's food. So when it comes to the malacha of tochein, so even though the original malacha, the description of the malacha as we usually think about it is taking grain and putting it in a mill and turning it into a flour. That's classic malacha of tochein. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us, this is most of the Rishonim read the Gemara, that even if you take food that's edible the way it is right now, you take a cucumber and you cut the cucumber into little pieces, so that's also considered to be the malacha of tochein. So even though there were Rishonim who denied that, the Rishonim who had a different Rishonim in the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch we accept that malacha. The Shulchan Aruch we pass again that a chotuk is a yerek daktak is considered to be a problem of tochein. So sometimes this becomes a problem when you don't prepare children for food. So you want the kid to eat something, so you give him a whole big thing that's going to drop him to eat. So you want to start to cut into little pieces for them. So what are the guidelines of doing that? So here the guidelines are pretty much the same as the guidelines for an adult. So the Rishonim are making on this two different circumstances. So there is a big machlokes in Rishonim when the Malach of Tochin applies, if it's done for immediate use. Let's say, just so we know, look with Borah. If you do an act of Borah under certain circumstances, if it's done miyad, if it's done right before the meal, so sometimes it's going to be mutter. Not always, depending on the details of Borah. But there is a concept of the outer concept of Samach Suluda, which the Rishonim say is considered Malach to be there, Achila, not there, Malacha. So the Rashi proclaims that that applies in terms of Uchas Tochin as well. That if you want to grind something up, you want to chop something up right before use of the meal, that will be permissible. So therefore the Rashi says, even for a grown-up, if you want to cut your carrot into little pieces, you want to cut your cucumber into little pieces, as long as it's right before the meal, that would be permissible. So if you hold it to Rashba, and it's very simple, you just cut up a little cucumber right before the meal, and there's no problem whatsoever. The problem is that the Rishonim disagree with the Rashba, but not 100% convinced that the Rashba is correct. So therefore the Rishonim recommends that one should just rely on the Rashba straight out. Rather, one should do is as follows. Since the Rishonim tell us that the issue of cutting things up in terms of being an issue of tochen only apply if they're cut into very, very little pieces, even though we're not 100% sure how little is little. So as long as you try to cut them a little bit bigger than what would be little pieces, so that's not a problem with tochen either. So again, we don't want to be mocked with that straight out. We don't want to cut the cucumbers in the morning for 10 hours later just to say, well, it's not such a little piece of there, it's mutter, because you never really know what's called little, what's called big. But if it's being done before the meal anyway, it looks to us like it's probably not so little. So Kedama Rosh will smoke a lot, it's a vegetable steak faker, and maybe you're not cutting it so big, so little anyway, and maybe the Rosh was right, so the Mishnah is make a lot right, that as long as you cut your food right before the meal, and you try to cut it a little bigger than usual, so the Mishnah is make a lot right, that would be okay. So the Chodah, same guidelines should be used for children as well. But you try to cut things right before the meal, but you try not to cut them so small. If one feels that for a child, one really, really has to cut it very small, so then one can rely on the Rashba. The Ikud, there are more passes like the Rashba, there are Shukran says that Ikud didn't pass like the Rashba. So those who are stuck and really have to cut their cucumbers into little pieces, so you just have to be careful to do it immediately before the meal. In this kind of malacha of Teuchen, the Chazanish came up with a tremendous chumrah. The Chazanish said that just as there's a problem of tochen in terms of taking a cucumber and cutting it into little pieces, there's a problem of taking a fruit or vegetable and mashing it into one big glob, one big pulp. That's also considered to be a problem of tochen. And the Chazanish had a tremendous chumrah in this area. The Chazanish said, not only is mashing considered to be a problem of tochen, but the Chazanish held that the Rashba was not correct. He was machri against the Ramah, against the Chashulchan, against the Mishnah Berurah, or at least the somewhat maker like the Ramah. The Chazanish thought the deeper it is, like the other Rishonim, that there is no Hefer of Leal, so there is no Hefer of Samach Hasuda. And then the Chazanish went one step further. He said that he thinks that even the Rashba was making Samach Hasuda, was only making on types of tochen, such as cutting vegetables, which is not real tochen, which is quasi tochen. Secondary, he said, but it's not the Amalach of tochen. Hashenke Mashing, which is an absolute objective act of tochen, says the Chazanish, so it's considered to be tochen, Gomer Belishim Safek, and even Samach Hasuda would be a problem with Chola days. So in one fell swoop, the Chazanish just paskin that to take a banana and to mash it up with a fork is an issa skila. It's an issa skila whether it's done before the meal, it's an issa skila whether it's done an hour before the meal, 2 minutes before the meal. It's an issa gomer, it's an issa deraisa to mash a banana on Shabbos. The famous shita of the Chazanish. So many, many posting questions to talk to the Chazanish on a variety of levels. Many people disagree with the Chazanish for many, many different reasons. There are some folks who say we do pass it like the Rashba. The Rashba would apply here also. That's one objection to the Chazanish. There are other folks who disagree with the Chazanish and say that mashing is b'chlal, not called tochen. Tochen means when you take a carrot and you break it into little pieces, and you take a banana, just make it into a big pulp of a banana, it's still a chetich achas, it's one unit still, and therefore b'chlal, that's not considered to be tochen. That's what Moshe argued against the Chazanish. So many had a disagreement with this psak of the Chazanish. Nevertheless, the Chazanish, the Shabbat de Raisa, so we can't just mock on the Chazanish, so the Chazanish has an interesting kula. The Chazanish writes that even though I think that mask you've been out is mamsh also with the raisa, but I have an eitzah for you. He says, do it till yachaya, do it in an abnormal manner. Rather than do it with a fork, do it with the back of the fork, do it with a spoon, do it with a knife, do it in some way. It's not the normal way of meshing, and therefore it's going to be mutter lechatchila. So Rav Moshe writes, and the Chazdish doesn't understand it. The Chazdish really held that it was in the Sidi Raisa. God is doing Kiliach Yad Mikamutter, it should be in the Sidi Ravonan. That's still like one. So Rav Moshe writes, he doesn't understand the Chum, and the Chazdish doesn't understand the Kul, the Chazdish. So says Rav Moshe, so what should you do? So he says, he thinks we should be deferred to the Chazdish, lechatchila. We should try to follow the Chazdish and not do it. But the Pesha, also Pesha Hitler, says Rav Moshe. Chazdish who asked it, he was mother. Even I don't understand why he was mother. If he's right that it's in the Sidi Raisa, Mechatech, it's Mutter, it's Kiliach Yad. But since Havdol Lo Tzivah, we don't have to be more machmir than the Chazdish himself. So, therefore, Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that the proper practice is to be chayshish for the Chazdish, but to do it the Chazdish's way. Namely, the Achayad is mutter. But says the Rav Moshe, under my honest and honest opinion, I really think it's mutter Samach Lasuda for sure, and even though Samach Lasuda Amikur then holds as mutter. So you have mamash across the spectrum, different opinions, how to go ahead and mash the slumdish banana. So according to the Chazanish, the only way to do it is Derech Shinui. According to Rav Moshe Mikra, then you can even do it for 10 hours in advance. And according to others, you have to do it some of the Suda. So how should we be knowing about this mashing? So it's a fairly easy thing to do. So I think the Chachilah, one should be Chashish for Chazanish. That's what Shmir Shabbos writes. And one should be Chashish for Chazanish for Chachilah. Therefore, when we're mashing bananas, most of us aren't mashing bananas for ourselves. We're mashing bananas, those kinds of things for kids. So we should be careful to mash the banana in somewhat of an abnormal manner. Do it with the back of the spoon, the back of the fork, or the knife or something, rather than mashing it in an altar.
Is that also the altar?
Maybe that thing should be done on the altar also. Because Rav Moshe is a shtaka tiny, that if it's really also, it should be also at least with the Rabbanah. So at least if you do the altar, you always have the Rosh, but at least the full back on. I don't know, I can't tell from the Chazanish whatever he said, I'm not sure. Another common child that comes up in terms of a preparation of food for children by the shayla of Alisha. So we know Alisha is one of the melachos. So basically the melach of Lash involves taking little particles of something and mixing them together with water or some other kind of liquid and making them into one chaticha together, making them into one big lila together, one mixture together. That would be in the Sidi Raisa, potential Sidi Raisa of Alisha. Within the Malach of Lisha, there's an important distinction. The Gemara has the Emes of the Shabbos. It's called the Mila Oven, it's called the Mila Rakit. The Mila Oven means that you mix, let's say, flour and water together to such an extent that you have a thick dough in front of you, let's say, a challah dough, a matzah dough, a cookie dough. That's considered to be a Mila Oven. And that's considered to be an Issa Deraisa of Lisha. Sometimes you can do Lisha without doing Lisha Deraisa. It's called the Mila Rakit. If you mix some particles together with a liquid and it becomes more like a batter, it becomes more pourable, so that is it to be Lisha Midirabana. If you have something that it doesn't become a mixture altogether, it just becomes a liquid with a little bit of flavoring floating around in it, that's not called Lisha Opium. Let's say, for example, a chocolate milk. Let's take some Nestle's Quick and mix it together with milk. That's not considered to be Lisha. It's not a blue of the time, a little rock. That's milk, which is a little bit of a powder mixed into it. But if you create something like pancake batter, so that would be a problem of Lisha Midirabana.
Same with chocolate milk.
Yeah, the Chazanish had a chumra. The Chazanish writes that when you make chocolate milk in Shabbos, you have to be careful that the clumps on the bottom could be a potential problem. So I don't know. I thought that the Chazanish was referring to chocolate milk then from Bnei Brak in the 1940s. I don't know whether our chocolate milk was like that. So I used to always tell people that if you mix the normal chocolate milk, the Hershey's and Nestle's, whatever brands we use today, so the stuff gets mixed together nicely. Somebody told me no. So we told you, if I can't, there are some people, when they make chocolate milk, they doubt to like those clumps in the bottom. Because those look like, that looks like a piece of chocolate. Sounds like a very bizarre way for a piece of chocolate, go to the store, buy a Hershey bar. So a guy said he likes that clump of milk and chocolate together, that would not be a problem. So I guess it depends on your consistency of how much your chocolate you're putting in there.
Okay. How formula?
That's what kind of formula we're coming to. So again, so anything that's going to be mamish, just pourable, straight pourable, it's not going to be any clumping cues there. It's probably not even a blue the rock, it would be totally mutter. Something which is a blue obviously the rice, the rock is going to be a problem with the rabbana. So now the question becomes, in terms of different types of things that we want to prepare for babies, whether that's considered to be a problem or not. So we'll start with the formula. So you tell me, formula, you think the formula is closer to the chocolate milk, or it's closer to the pancake batter, or it's closer to the cookie dough? I think it's closer to trouble. Good. So I think it's the same as the chocolate milk. So therefore, to prepare the formula, I don't think it's going to be a problem. You may have other visual problems. Okay, we're going to have to talk about visual the next 45 minutes back what we have to do. So you got to figure out whether you can get around it. The visual, the shanies, whatever you can get around in terms of that. But in terms of Elisha, I don't think it's going to pose a problem. Well, Elisha poses the most serious problems in preparation of baby cereals. So it's usually the regular stage of things that babies go. So usually either they're nursing or they're having formula when they're little babies. Then they progress a little bit and they go to these delicious baby cereals. So the baby cereals usually start off with rice and other kinds of oatmeal kinds of things. So if you would taste these things, we'd realize that the babies usually last at least for about 3 days. So, and then they move on to more exotic, usually chillin' and other things that they get later years. Anyway, so when you're at this middle stage of the baby having these rice cereals, the oatmeal cereals, so usually the way you make these things is you take water and you mix it with the powder, mix it up together, and you make some kind of a consistency, and you have your baby cereal. So the question is that permitted on Shabbos or not? It's an absolute violation of the halacha of Elisha. So here we have two possible things to keep in mind, perhaps to be makil this otherwise halacha of Elisha. So the Gemara tells us that Elisha is interesting, that most of the malachas, we can pinpoint exactly when the malacha of Elisha is taking when the moment of the malacha is taking place. We turn on the light, so when the light goes on, that's called the malacha. You carry from Shizyot to Shizrab, so you put it down, you did that Kivin Anocha, so that's the moment of the malacha. So collapse, that's the malacha. So most of the malachas, we can pinpoint mamash at a second when the malacha is. The malacha of Elisha is a tough malacha. There's machlekes ha'tanoim, when exactly one violates the malacha of Elisha. So according to one Tana, the malacha of Elisha is violated at the moment that the Salam and the liquid touch one another. We call the halacha the Shas Tassina Samayim. That's the violation of Elisha. And another time says, no, that's not the halacha of Elisha. The halacha of Elisha is actually a gavel, but the two are actually mixed together. So let's say you take flour and water, just plop it into a cup together. You don't do anything to it. You don't mix it together. You don't work on it together to make it into a dough. So one time says, that's not the halacha of Elisha. The halacha is that's right. The halacha is how we share a paskin. Still unclear how we paskin the halacha. Why does it make a difference? That time said that Elisha is going to involve both of these stages. So why do we really care whether the law of Elisha is violated at the time of the Sinas Anayim, or whether it's violated at the time of Kibul? So the Gemara is a big Kiddush concerning the law of Elisha, and Chavarim have a lot of problems with why this should be true. So basically the Gemara's klal is that at least under certain circumstances, when you do a law of Elisha, if you do a Shinoi, B'Shas Elisha, so it may be mutter. It may be under certain circumstances, it may actually become mutter l'chatchila to do Elisha if it's done derech Shinoi. The question becomes, when exactly is the Shinoi going to take place? So here you have a machlokes ha'tanoim. So if you hold that the moment of Elisha is the Shas Nesimus Amayim, and the Shini must take place after the time of Nesimus Amayim, before, not after. If you hold that the malacha of Elisha is violated at the time of Gibel, any Shini that's potentially going to be not Elisha has to take place both at the time of Gibel. It cannot take place earlier, it cannot take place later. So how do we pass the malacha? So we passed it, we're not sure what we passed it. Machlokes ha'tanoim, machlokes ha'rishonim, and Shulchan Aruch still undecided whether we follow the opinion that the Shas Nesimus is Nesimus Amayim, where the Shas Elisha is the Gibel. Therefore, in order to invoke this cool of a heter of a Shinoi, the Shas Elisha, we're going to insist that we call a double Shinoi. But we insist that the Shinoi, both the Shas Nesina Samayim, as well as an additional Shinoi, the Shas Gibel. Only if both of these Shinoim are invoked, only if both of the Shinoim are put into place, then only then will we permit outright what would otherwise constitute a malacha of Elisha. So what exactly are we practically speaking? What do we mean when we speak about doing a shinui b'shas Elisha? So let's take the first stage, the possible stage of the Sinas Amayim. How could you possibly do the Sinas Amayim in a time of whole manner? You can stand up in your head when you put the water. What are you going to do exactly to do the Sinas Amayim there of shinui? So here, the post can quote that the shinui is in terms of the seder advarim. Namely, if you have something which you usually put the water in first, and then you put the salad in first, so you should reverse the order, or vice versa. Usually put the salad first, the Shabbos liquid in first. So whatever the normal state of the varmint is during the week, the water should be reversed on Shabbos, and that constitutes a valid shinui, and that would constitute a valid shinui if that's the only shinui that's necessary. What about the second shinui? What about the later stage shinui? The shinui of the Shabbos Gibel, those who say that Gibel is the key moment. So then, obviously the Sinas Amayim is not going to be a sufficient shinui, it's too early. Shinui is going to be needed in the process of Gibel itself. What could possibly constitute a shinui for that? So the Gemara speaks about doing a shinui in terms of rather than mixing it really, really, really strong, doing what's called shasi ve'erev, doing a crisscross type of motion. So the liquid and the solid are mixed, are put together, and rather than taking the spoon and really, really working on it hard, you put in a knife or something, or a vacuum spoon or something, they do this. and you spend the whole week doing that, because by Mitzvah Shabbos it's mixed together. Because Nisha is a Chumrah, that even that's not good enough. Because Nisha says, when Chazal speak about Shasi the Erev, it doesn't mean this. It means, so I can act this out well, it means take it out of the mixture, put it back in, take it out again, take it out again. So according to the Chazal, it's not enough just to do Shasi the Erev while you're inside. You gotta do a Shasi, out, Erev, out, just in, out, there. You can spend mamasha days trying to get anything mixed together. That's one possible shinui. Then the Bosnians, we've got another kind of shinui, is that let's say a person, rather than doing some kind of a mixture with a utensil, just shakes this thing together. So you've got a good solid shake together, of course, which accomplishes very little. That's why it's called a shinui. So that would also qualify as a shinui. Or maybe one could argue that a shinui means if the instrument that you use to do the mixing is very different. So it will be a very, very different kind of instrument to use for mixing. Your finger. So instead of using a spoon or something, if a person just stuck a finger in and mixed it together, that would probably also qualify as a shiloh. So once we already begin to sense that all these shilohim that are going to potentially be invoked during the Shas Gibel aren't going to be so great. Some of them aren't going to work, some are going to be so for other reasons. We have a whole series of different possible shilohim that could be used. So the only time we can even begin to discuss the Mat of the Malach of Lisha is that two shinuim have to be done. There has to be a shinuim b'shas b'sin samayim, there has to be a shinuim b'shas nivol. So make that as worse.
Can one just take their hands and mix around?
Yeah, it's probably a good shinuim.
The pouring is subjective, whatever you do.
Oh, we have to have a second. To make matters a little bit more complicated in terms of shinuim, there is a machlokas aposkim under what grounds are we going to permit these shinuim? So there are many those who claim that we only mask these kinds of shinuim under the rakas, things which are only there upon it anyway, things which are not real according to the DRI says, so then you do a shinuim, a funny shinuim, a double shinuim, whatever the case may be, then we're going to be matir. If you have a blue other, which is not much of the Araisa, then there are no grounds to be not to the Shinuyim. And others would disagree and say, no, even by the Araisa, one would still be permitted to be Mako based on these Shinuyim. So Shabbos Paskins, Al-Khathila, one should try to reserve the Shinuyim only for blue Rakas, because one is dealing with the Rabbanan anyway, so it's not the end of the world. When you're dealing with the Araisa, so even if you can figure out how to do the Shinuyim properly, one Khathila shouldn't rely on you. So how would all this play out the mice in terms of the baby cereal? So let's come to make the baby cereal. So assume we're going to be making, we're going to take the position that we're going to be making. So let's analyze what would that mean exactly. So we look for shinuim b'shas nesinas hamayim. So the post can say whatever the derech is during the week, so the opposite on the Shabbos. The problem with some things, such as baby cereals, there really is no such derech. So what is the derech? Go around, take a survey of 20 women who make baby cereal. Here's where you put the couple of babies. Now, so what do you do?
The cereal first,
during the week. During the week you do it that way? When you do it that way. Okay, remember what we do. So it hasn't been a while. So my kids last on the baby cereal for about 3 hours, not for 3 days, don't go for too much. But some kids really do like baby cereal. So you tell you that during the week you put the solid in first, and then you put in the liquid. So if that's really true, there really is a Seder at the Varim. So then you would reverse the order in Shabbos. I'm not sure if there's a Seder Advarim. So what do you do when you have someone which doesn't have a Seder Advarim? So some posts have an interesting idea that there's a Poisik Acher and the one who's conveying what the halacha is, you never believe. Who's Kaveh? Rabbi who? The Gerber. The Poisik on the box. Whatever the box says. If the box says that recommended usages, dosages to put in the salad first, whatever the box tells you to do, so on Shabbos do the opposite. Lachas. That's considered to be a shit. I don't know. It's hard to believe that's a shinui. Know who reads the box. Well, for your first kid, you read the box. You want to make sure you get it right. For your 10th kid, you know, read the box. The 10th kid, you know, use the box. I think to say that that's called a shinui. I'm not sure. So I have problems with this shinui in terms of say that dvarim, but the sin is a mind when it comes to the baby cereal. That's the bad news. The good news is that most of the Rishonim probably hold that you don't even need a Shinuim b'shas nesinas hamayim, because most of the Rishonim probably hold that the Gibel was the Shas Chiyuv. So if that's true, that Rosh Hashanah hold that the Gibel is the Enochai Machi Gavel, so then maybe we don't have to be as concerned with the Shinuim b'shas nesinas hamayim. We try our best. We try to follow the Pesach in your house, whatever potential Shinuim is, and even if we got it wrong, it's Nishkebelech. So I'm a little bit more concerned with the Shinuim b'shas Gibel. So what Shinuim is going to do b'shas Gibel? So you're going to do the crisscross motion. I do a very good job. You're going to do the mixing motion. It's all down there. You're going to use your finger. What? No, that's one. It's cliche and you're ready. It's cliche and you're ready. That's one. So,
it doesn't mean that if I stick my finger in it, it won't be.
I'm kidding, it's a joke. That's all. So, I don't know, there are making, there are some who make the baby suit on Shabbos. So I tell people that you make the baby suit on Shabbos, so try your best to do a shini, b'shasas, b'samayim, whatever that shini qualifies at, and try your best to do it crisscrossing, with the chadnish, try to do as best as you can in a way that's different than you would do normally. Nevertheless, the Shabbos strongly recommends that once you try to do it, the l'raka. Because by Lula Ova, there are many people who say that none of these should know your belt. So how can you do Lula Rafa? So the answer is you put in more water. So you put in more liquid, so the liquid you get, so the, that was the correct word, but the more liquid it becomes, so then the more of a Lula Rafa is going to become. So therefore the Shmir Shabbos says, one wants to make these kind of things on Shabbos, once you try to make it with Lula Rafa, and then once you try to become a Shinui Bishas, the Sinus Amayim, as best as you can, and try to do an additional Shinui Bishas Gibel. For Shabbos concedes that if a person is stuck and you can't, the babies don't like it, the babies want a little bit thicker. So you should be mismuch. There are mekilim that these shinuyim work even for a blue ava. But again, it has to be realized that that these shinuyim are a little bit shaky. You're not even sure how to do them exactly. So by blue ava, there's considerable more reason to be a little bit more machmir. So that's the bottom line. As I tell people, it's on the Shmir Shabbos, lechatchila, they should reserve the shinuyim only for a blue l'racha. If they feel they must make it into a blue l'ava, they should try their best to keep the shinuyim as best as possible. If they can get away without the seal of Shabbos, Mato, you can't prepare this in advance. You can't make baby seal in advance. It doesn't stay. Maybe chal and kishka and shalom and
shesh. If you're mixing, if you put things in that don't mix right away, eggs and mayonnaise, you have to do a
shinui. Eggs and mayonnaise is a different story. Eggs and mayonnaise, shall altogether, that could be lisha. So this is a major machlok, it's the chassidim and the mesnagdim. So in all the chassidim and shtiblach, they always served, they always made exile on Shabbos. So all the mesnagdim and shepelskim said, they didn't understand why it was mutter. They thought it was a serious problem of lisha. So Shalom Zalman tries to defend the practice.
And you have to do a shinui when you put it in?
Maybe.
You know it doesn't mix
certain
like
the mold? Yeah, you may have to. Maybe. Tell people they shouldn't make exile chips. Not so chassidish, they should make real portions. You have a shot at one of the RCBC establishments, and the restaurants are closing shops, the nursing homes. So there was a whole shot about making, so Harry Hedmashkiach is a chassidish fellow. So he was asking me what our policy is in terms of making these kinds of things on Shabbos. So I said, you're asking me. I said, I'm showing you a shtibul and mansi that I make it. I said, I don't think you should make it. So I don't know what the sad was.
Would pouring formula and then water, alternating, would that be enough to shoot? Because that's something.
The next potential malacha that we were talking about, it's not a chance to talk about all of the malachas, not have a chance to talk about all shots to go with babies, but just trying to highlight over the years the questions that keep on coming up every single week. There is a shaila concerning baby carriages. There are a couple of shailas concerning baby carriages. One is a problem with Oksa, so the answer to that question is that's a problem. There's no way you're not supposed to touch a baby. It's good, okay. But the question that becomes more relevant in terms of baby carriages are shailas of a CSOL, in terms of opening and closing the hoods of the carriage on Shabbos, in terms of putting on the nettings on Shabbos, all these things. What are the halachas concerning these types of things? So we know that Bona is one of the malachas. The Gemara tells us in a few places, chops, there, and beitza, that OL is considered to be a form of Bona. If a person makes a tent like that for the structure, that's considered to be an act of Bona and Shabbos. We should point out that when we talk about making an OL on Shabbos, so one can violate that Isser making an OL, even if one doesn't make the entire OL, even if one doesn't make the sides of the OL. Even one only makes a top, one puts on a covering, one puts on a roof type of structure for the purpose of protecting oneself from the rain, from the elements, from the sun, whatever the case may be, that would be an absolute isser of a CSOL on Shabbos. It's quite possible it would only be an Olam of the Rabbanon, if it's an Olam Aroi, leaving out the details of what exactly Olam Aroi means, but any making of a covering type of a structure on Shabbos, or nothing for that matter, would be a serious problem of a CSOL. Moshe Feres like that, and says Erev in the Gemara talks about just putting over, covering over the sheep out in the field, protecting from the sun. The Gemara says would be a problem, probably not with the Rabbanim, but would be a problem of a CS oil and Shabbos and Yom Tov. So in this background, we have a problem. If you have a baby carriage, so you want to open the hood of the baby carriage, you want to close the hood of the baby carriage. So the cover to extend the hood of the baby carriage should be a problem of a CSOL, putting the hood up, protect the baby from the sun, from the rain. So the cover, that should be a problem with Shabbos. And then to put it back should also be a problem. So serious OL, whatever, you're not allowed to make an OL, you're not allowed to disassemble an OL either. So the cover, what's the difference between that and let's say for argument's sake, don't believe an umbrella on Shabbos, which we always think is a problem of OL. Even though we're not convinced, I don't know if that's the same as Shabbos, no, we're not 100% convinced that opening umbrellas is of OL, but the main goal is to assume that it's a problem. Because I view it as a famous shul where he asked if the opening umbrella on Shabbos, he writes as it is a chorus, it is a skila, it is a deraisa, and we should suffer to open up an umbrella on Shabbos. And many of the later poskim pointed out that they're not 100% sure that was right for a variety of reasons. And even though the argument was right, b'shaito, it may, the umbrellas that he was describing worked a little bit different than the umbrellas that we were describing. That was a bit of a shame, a famous story that Rav Yehuda has this, in his famous Shuvah about umbrellas. He describes what umbrellas were like in the 1700s, how you had to open them and tie them, a whole contraption to keep them in place, a whole line of Megillah. And you read the Shuvah, you don't know what in the world he's talking about. And I had the privilege to, one time I went with my wife to this place called Sturbridge Village. It's like a place up in Massachusetts where they show you the way life was like in the good old colonial days. So one of the exhibits that they had there was an umbrella from the 1700s. So nobody else there could have cared less about what an umbrella from the 1700s looked like. And I was mamish fascinated. I was asking the person every single permutation about, show me again, you open it like this, and you open it like this. She thought I was mamish off my rocker. My wife at that point said, you know, enjoy, I have nothing to add about this guy. that was my fascination. The other thing that I was fascinated with, besides the Nebbi Huda's umbrella from the 1700s, was they had a whole exhibit there on dyeing, not as in Misa, but as in the dyeing Brinda Nash, but as in Tzevea. So they were showing about the whole dyeing process. I was also fascinated about that. So again, nobody else could have cared less about that. At the time, the only thing we had just gotten married. So the only thing that my wife was interested in is that all the women who were walking around all had the hair covered. So they were walking around the little tickles on top of the smooth or something. So she asked them spread out, whether do they only cover the hair when they walk around in the street, or do they also cover the hair when they're inside and there are no men around? So to which they responded, well, Mikra didn't touch this exhibit's right. But there's a Zohar, which is Machmer. So getting back to the baby carriage, what's the story of the baby carriage? So the chavar, the answer to the baby carriage revolves around the following halacha. The Gemara at the end of the Shabbos is called the Kisei Kraskol. The Gemara says that opening and close certain types of chairs on Shabbos may be a problem. Also, see it's all the things involved in the structure. So the Gemara describes something which is pretty similar to what we have as a folding chair. The Gemara says that there's a problem of making like a chair on Shabbos. That's if you take the sides and you take the piece and you manage to connect it all together, so you're making some kind of a structure, that's a problem. But if the whole thing is connected together anyway, and you're just opening and closing a pre-existing chair, like a folding chair, the Gemara calls a Kisei Traskel, so you must have laced on by that set to go, but there's nothing wrong with a Kisei Traskel. So there is a big machlok, because we're showing what exactly are the parameters of this heter Kisei Traskel. So some Rishonim seem to say that the whole issue of oil doesn't apply. So it's bone, there's nothing, it's there, and the piece is there, it's just open and closed, but it's basically all the pieces are connected. Whatever's connected together is not considered to be an issue of a CSOL. And other issue of the Rambam, some others, and the Yud and the Chumas, it's like the Rambam, who say that no, that Remedra and Mundi, there's a heter of Kisei Traskel, that's only in something like a chair, which is not a real oil anyway, because the chair is not really protecting you, it's not really serving as a real oil. It's a Mexico, it looks like an oil a little bit. But we could see without something that's a real bona fide oil in the sense of that it's set up for protection, so that we don't find any mark in the Gemara that Kisei Traskel should apply. Kisei Traskel was a special cooler that was only for things which are not real oil anyway. But whatever's functioning as a real bona fide oil would be a problem, even if all the pieces are connected from beforehand. So this is a machlokes, a mishana machlokes, a chavurah mahalacha. And bottom line, this seems to be the issue behind the hoods of the baby carriage. So the hood of the baby carriage is the classic Kisei Traskel. It's there already. It's like I'm taking a piece of cloth and like I'm taking a sheet of something and throwing it on top of the baby carriage. It's there, it's connected, it's all one piece already. It's folded, you know, folded up and folded down. So those poskim, well, that the heter Kisei Traskel applies in the whole circumstances, even if something which is nasa, it's or oel, so it would be matter straight out the baby carriage. So the chazanish was not the chazanish was mego, that you can open and close the baby carriage without any consideration, no concern at all, because of basically they had to keep his chasko. Others who are a little bit more concerned with Moshe, others weren't so convinced that the baby carriage is mutter, that maybe we should follow the Rambam, the Yehuda, the Kisei Traskel only applies in a limited circumstance. In the case of the baby carriage, which is clearly Nasel or Oel, would not be subject to that Kula. So some poskim held that we should consider the hood of the baby carriage as a potential problem of Oel, and therefore treat it as such. What would that mean, practice, speaking to treat it as such? So the Gemara has it as Shabbos, Beis, and Erevin, that even though a CSO was prohibited on Shabbos, if it's an Ola Roy, if it's a temporary type of an Ola, which the Chayyim show what exactly that means, let's go, for now at least, the way some Rishonim say, the Rashi seems to say that that Ola Roy means a temporary type of an Ola, something which is only an Ola Midrabban anyway, so the Chazal prohibited to create an Ola Roy on Shabbos, but they didn't prohibit to extend the pre-existing Ola on Shabbos. So the Ola was already a little bit opened up, and now you just want to extend it a little bit. That would be mutl chila on Shabbos. Only dealing with the Rabban anyway, and you're not doing it with chila. Just it's called the bolsa or a raya is mutl.
Couldn't you just leave it open?
Right. That's what we're getting to. So if that's the case, what does it mean to be bolsa? The Gemara says that as long as the ola is open to tefa, tefa was a shear ola of kol tarkula. It's all them. That's specifically the shear of an ol. As long as let's say you left your covering open to tefa from before Shabbos, and now you just want to open it a little bit more, so that's mutl chila Shabbos. Even without tefa kisei traska, that's tefa gomor. And then if you want to close it up, fold it up, so if you just should leave it to the point where it's still open to tefach, so as long as it's spread out of tefach, so that's not considered to be a problem b'chlal. So those who are machmir on the baby carriage hoods, who consider it to be not included in the epic kisei traskel, they would insist that you have to leave the baby carriage hood opened up a little bit from before Shabbos, and then you can continue to open it to the gamre, you can close it, whatever you want to do with it, as long as it always remains a tefach open. We see a tefach open, it means a tefach spread out. The fact that, I mean, you take the hood of the baby couch and you fold it back, so it takes up a tefach, that's not considered to be open. It has to be functioning the Torah's OL, so if it was an OL, has a tefach, and then it would be mutter. There are many, many posts who are make legamre, which was make legamre, many are outright make. I would say the minigra element is to be make legamre. Most people, I think, are not so careful about this.
Nowadays, many of the strollers I see, at least, you can, like, pick up the seat support, and, like, carry it away, and use it as a car seat or, like, a baby carrier or whatever. So would you be allowed to...
The other is not serious. Yeah, that part, just taking the infancy out, back and forth, that's nothing. It's not a serious old camera.
I was wondering if it was like one
Like going in that somewhere, that's like chulias, like commercial chulias, where you just different pieces that are just like Lego, they just connect together a little bit, but easy come, easy go. I mean, even the baby boogies, or whatever they call them. What are they called, the baby bunnies? Some fancy, no, I'm talking about boogaboos, biggie boogaboos, boogaboos. Yeah. Yep, you're not allowed to live in Israel without one, that's what I was told. There are certain communities in Israel.
Yeah,
so the reason why that's different is that there it's mamish serving eventually as a function of oil. Whereas here, it would be similar to like some of the Gemara's cases of putting together tables. If the walls are already there and just put the top on Shabbos, that would be mutter. It's not like that. You're not finishing off, you're not doing anything. You're just putting together a couple pieces.
Can you fold up the back, so it's hang over a little bit, even though it's not pulled up all the way?
No, it has to be open to the top. It can't
just be folded back, so it's
right,
hang over.
Right, yeah. So again, I think that the minigram was the bank, I think most people know.
What about folding or folding actually for?
That's for sure, mutter. That's like a mamshik easy transfer. It's like a folding chair, yeah. It's a mamshik folding chair. Yeah, the pashas, that would be true. The pashas, that would be true. The umbrella, the chazimish writes, that the chumra that we have not to open umbrellas, the gamre, maybe doesn't apply to those types of umbrellas that mamish kavu onto the ground. However, this whole discussion only applies to the hood of the carriage itself. Let's say you want to take something in a chutz, you want to throw some netting or something which wasn't connected, so then the chutz, everybody has to be opened up the tefach from beforehand. So it could be that that one can pull up the following stunt. Let's say you're unable to open up the hood. So I open up the hood, and now the hood is extended. So now I want to throw the netting on top of the hood. So that's called Mosif al Arai. So maybe that should be mutter. Pasha, that should be mutter. And that it was open before you. So this time that should be okay. So. So up until now, we've been talking about very specific malachas, specific shahadah that brought to the kid. I want to look a little bit more in terms of general terms. Things to be aware of in terms of children on Shabbos. And some of the things we've talked about now spill over to other areas of halacha as well. There is a sugya in the end of Maseches Yevamos. We assume that that's a Marzayim, as well as a Shabbos. We assume that's a Marzayim. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Yevamos comments that there's a halacha that's called the Hazik Dol Malaktan. There's out many different psukim that teach us that you have to be careful that kids don't violate averus either. Hazik Dol Malaktan. So the Gemara is a big machlokes. What exactly does that mean, Hazik Dol Malaktan? So according to one opinion, what that means is that if you see a katan doing an averus, you have to stop it. Even if it's not your child. If katan on avelus based on some other issue, you see a child walking to McDonald's. So if you're able to, you got to pull them out. If you see a katan turning on a lion trap, you got to pull them away. That's one opinion. The other opinion says, no, you're not mechuyev to pull the child away. Any basis of mitzvah not for show, but all that is sort of lahazik all the time means that you're not allowed to cause him to do the avera. You're not allowed to hand him the tray for food. You're not allowed to stick the tray for food into his mouth. You're not allowed to ask him to turn on the light for you. That's what it means lahazik all the time. So how do we pass in the halacha? So we pass in the kula of Shemir Gimel. We pass in the halacha that lahazik all the time only applies to if you are actively causing the child to do the avera. If the child is doing the avera on their own, so that's not considered to be a problem. Any basis of mitzvah not for show. There's a big machlokes in Rishonim. How can that be that any days mitzvah not for show? What happened to chinuch? Madrichim and mechuyim mechanech children to daven to matan pesach. It's kiddush and Shabbos. So how much more so we mechuyim mechanech not to do averos? So there's a machlokes in Rishonim how to solve that problem. So some Rishonim say that no chinami that the whole Gemara is only talking about kodesh shigil lechinuch. But if the child's already gil lechinuch, then of course we mechuyim mechanech. And kavachom from Mitzvah Seis. Another Rishonim say no. The Gemara is talking about somebody else's children. Somebody else's children is no chiv chinuch. I'm not chiv mechanech your children. I'm chiv mechanech my own children. But in the time, if I see my own children doing an averus, of course I have to stop them. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that's a sfeik in the dina. We're not sure what the correct answer to that question is. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Chayalim was machri as follows: that if I see somebody else's child doing an avera, or if I see my own child doing an avera, the child is lo gil chinuch, and there's no problem at all. I didn't instigate it. I didn't initiate it. So the child is not a problem. The child is doing their own avera. No, it's not my problem. As long as the child is lowing yellow chinuch. So let's say, for example, you see the 2-year-old who's finally tall enough to reach a light switch. So he's standing there on Shabbos. He's playing up and down, up and down. So that's fine. No problem. As long as he ends up at the end and up. So it's not a problem. So that's at the grammar because he's lowing yellow chinuch. He doesn't understand anything yet. And therefore, there's no chinuch chinuch. And in being too much. So it's bechlau, not a problem. Mr. Burr writes that once the child has reached the age of chinuch, so if it's my child, then for sure I have to stop them. Ultimately, it's a chinuch. No question about it. If it's somebody else's child, it's fake in the dina. Why does some Rishon there is chinuch on other people's children, according to other Rishon there's no chinuch on other people's children? So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, if I see somebody else's child doing a nisa d'oraisa, I should really stop them. If I see somebody else's child doing a nisa d'rabbanan, then I don't have to stop them. So I see him turning on a light, that's a nisa d'oraisa, so I have to stop. I see him turning off a light, it's probably a nisa d'rabbanan, so then I don't have to stop them. So that's not chroah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier poskim. So the Maisa, if the child is doing something on their own, unless they're a gil chinuch, it's not really my problem. However, what exactly is considered to be a gil chinuch for these purposes? So the Mishnah Berurah says once the child understands the concept of no, once the child understands, which is usually about the age of 35 or so, so once the child realizes, you tell them no, so oh, no means no, okay. So if the child is old enough to realize that, it doesn't just give you a cute little smile when you say don't do that anymore, and they start waving, you know, and everything, so they're lower gil chinuch. Once they reach the point of saying, you said no, no, I'm not going to listen to you, no, I'm going to do it. So whether they say that actively or not, so that's called the Yilachim. However, one thing that's absolutely also, which is clearly in Glishim Safek, is what's called in Alokha L'Hachal B'Yadayim. Actively cause a child to do an Aveira is also in the Raisa and Shabbos and other areas of law as well. The feet traitors to the child, even if the child is low Yilachim, even if the child's mom is a little baby, it's also considered to be a problem. There's a famous Sefer HaRekeach and a Shach, we spoke about in another context, but the Rekech says this issue applies even if the baby's not born yet, even in utero. famous Shita the Rakech, we discussed this, if you have an Eishes Kohen Mugaras, whether she's permitted to walk into a cemetery, because she, by definition, was a child, so that's called Safir Levi Adayim. So again, that's a law in itself, not for now. But clearly, once the baby is born, one is not permitted to feed trade for food to the child. Because Nefesh, one is not permitted to feed trade for food to a child, one is not permitted to cause a child to do an Aveir for Shabbos, or any other Aveir for that matter. There is a
is it also better knowledge that happens?
As a different child, if a child who's low gil chinuch, he doesn't know what's going on in the cloud, does something to you, is that called a sasek? Even if it is a sasek, it's a nice Shabbos, that's a big question.
Is it someone actually asked the Shabbos to do it?
Yeah, probably is nice Shabbos. So clearly that's out of the question. So a lot of things a lot of people do, they'll tell the kids that they don't like for them, they'll tell the kids to carry for them, those are totally out of the question.
How would a little baby use a light on or off?
Yes, so the poskim say, yeah, if you put a baby next to something and you're not telling them to do it, they don't even understand what it means. They wouldn't even understand. And that was called also the asaviv. So then there's a 50-50 chance they may do it. So they do it on their own, they're on their own. So that, the chur is not considered to be a problem. But again, the ability of that to actually work is highly unlikely. I remember a particular person, Charmaine Nameless, was sitting in that room. So I remember to him as a very little child, he probably knows what I'm talking about, and the person is, he waved to everybody in the room. So I remember a particular electric device had to be either plugged in or plugged out, and there was a great ace of connecting a candy to it or something, and you're tied with the candy onto the plug and hope that the kid's going to pull the candy. So the kid pulled the candy, right? Of course, didn't touch the plug. So very smart. Anyway. But these things usually don't work. But in theory, it would. In theory, that would work. The Gemara tells a famous story at the end of the Zavamas about the keys to the Beis Medrash that left in the street by mistake, and she says Adam. And the question was, how are we going to get the keys in? And one of them, Moran, came with this great idea. He can't ask the child to actually carry the keys in. But the Gemara says, we brought the little kids to play by the keys, and we know all kids like keys. So hopefully, one of the kids will pick up the key and carry it over and walk to the Beis Medrash and open the door for us. So without telling them exactly where to go, that was the Gemara's aid, so that we should bring the little kids and ask them to play. So whether or not it worked or not is a different story, but the Gemara seems to say that would not be called Nachal Yadayim. It's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Yevamos that they asked Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas says, bring the little Talias and Taliases. Talia and I make these little boys, Talias and these little girls. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Pedas, tell them to bring the little boys and little girls together. They'll play on the floor, so hopefully one of them will pick up the keys. So. Somebody once asked the Satma Rebbe, said, what kind of story is that? You bring the little boys, little girls, like, co-ed preschool, what are you kidding? You bring the little kids to go play together on the floor to find the keys. So the Satma Rebbe responded, Kedak of the Kodesh, he responded that you don't live Shana Gemara properly. The Gemara wanted that the kids should see the keys. So if you're going to bring just little boys, they're going to play ball with each other, they're going to be fighting with each other, punching with each other, no one's going to bother looking down the floor. But if they bring the little boys and little girls together, oh, the little boys, they're not going to look at the little girls, they're going to go like this. Straight out of wind, bro, you sat in the room. Anyway, so this is a problem that a lot of people are very, very mizahazal with. People should be more careful about this. Yes, the children do walk around kissing the Shabbos that are also, that's a serious problem. There's a famous ma'aseh of Reb Chaim that in Europe, contrary to popular opinion, in just about all the series in Europe, there used to be Erevin. And nobody complained about the Erevin there. There was an Erevin brisk, contrary to what one would believe, but there was an Erevin brisk. Reb Chaim, I don't know, he was in charge of the Erevin Brisk, So the reason why, one of the reasons why they used to have an Erevin in all the cities was because people didn't have their own ovens. They used to have a kind of communal oven, the baker's oven. Everyone would bring their cholent there Friday afternoon, and then Shabbos morning they would come pick up their oven. They're cholent. If there was no Erevin, that would be a big problem. So one week the Erevin fell down Friday night, so when it came to Reb Chaim's attention, all those Jews are going to come Shabbos morning to pick up their cholent, be a tremendous mikshol. So Chaim himself went and sat by the baker's oven, and every time people would come to get the cholent, he would tell them, he can't, here it's down. You need to come and eat the cholent here, or no cholent. People love malva tonight, cholent love malva. So you can't carry your cholent. So apparently, the story goes is that there was a woman came with a little girl to pick up the cholent, and her plan told her the same story, and she was down. So she said, all right, fine, I won't carry the cholent myself. My daughter will carry the cholent, she's on the bas mitzvah. So the Chaim said, no, you can't do that. So the woman said, come on, she's on the bas mitzvah, she's a little bit, 5 years old, please carry the cholent for me. So the Chaim repeated again, he said, no, you're not allowed to do that. So the woman said, come on. And she told the little girl to carry the cholent. So the Chaim sent his messenger home to the woman's husband to tell the woman's husband she threw out all the wine in the house, because his wife is a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, and all the wine that she touched is trade. So that's where the story goes. So that's a good response to the story. So I'm always troubled with that story. Is it really true of the Aloha? So there's a Chuba the Achiezer, Reb Chaim Hoizer, who recalls the Shara the Rulech Rav Yomim, is that there's a post in Chumash, Pasatzik and Malacha Ato Vincho Mitecha. You're not allowed to do Malacha, you and your children. So who's this child talking about? There's nobody. He's talking about a mitzvah, probably not. But Ata, so must be talking about someone who's below the age of a mitzvah. So all the Achmanim ask, the Shara really bothered with this question. What do you need a post in Chumash to tell me that you're not allowed to ask a child to turn a life for you, take it like that, and we'll call it a cool, you're not allowed to. I'm not allowed to feed trapes to my child, I'm not allowed to be machshir my child in any yisur d'oraisa. So of course I'm not allowed to ask that to do malacha for me. So what is those sa'atzik of l'chat v'vincha there for? So Reb Chaim Moser quotes many answers to this kasha, and he quotes an answer that he heard the name of Reb Chaim Rizka. He heard the name of Reb Chaim held that the answer to this question is as follows, that the chiddush of the pasuk in Seretz Dibros is that this is called an act of Chilul Shabbos. In other areas of halacha, there's a din klol, there's a missing klol to be makshal ketanim in kashrus and chakne and other areas of halacha. But there's a chiddush haTorah in Hilchos Shabbos to say that if you have your child carry for you, if you have your child turn life for you, so what you are doing is called an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's not a missing klol in Kol Torah, it's called Yom Hamashim Mechal Shabbos. That was the story of Reb Chaim. So when I finally saw that many years later, that shuv in the Achiezer, I realized this story is Reb Chaim Lishitasai. The Reb Chaim held that the money was Mamashim Mechal Shabbos, because Reb Chaim Lishitasai held that that's what the Chumash means. That there's a difference. And you ask your child to do Malacha for you, so that's Mamashim Nisr Gomer. That's an Nisr, not just an Nisr Dir Aisa, that's an Nisr Chil Shabbos itself. That gives a little bit of Yishu to that particular story. So are there any coolers in this area?
So in the Sunday case, like by maybe the family life list, or if it comes to the point where you could maybe in front of my life list, and they like can't say no, now like you want them to take your life list, you have no problem.
So there is a big machlekes that we share with the Rambam and the Rashi, whether this is of causing the child to do a malacha, whether this applies to Yisurim Drabbanim as well. So the Rambam holds that Yisurim Drabbanim, the Rashi is all the same, and the Rashi disagrees. The Rashi disagrees. The Rashi writes that Vemetimer Mamurim, that I disagree. That's only if you're doing it with Tovas HaKotan. If you're doing something to enhance the Kotan's well-being, but if you're doing it for your own well-being, so that's for sure a problem. Even the Rashi agrees is a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Halacha quotes from Rabbi Kiveger, who was willing to be Shasal Chach to make like this Rashba, even though Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Zerul, Shulchan Aruch assumes the Raisa, the Rabban, it's all the same, but Rabbi Kiveger was willing to be making the Shasal Chach like the Rashba, that to ask a child to do an Issa, the Rabban for you, if it's a Kodas HaKotan, so maybe the Koshi Godel, Yeh Shulhagel. So therefore, as an example of this, the Rabbi Halacha says, let's say I want to carry a Siddur to Shulchan Shabbos, and there's no Eruv. So very often there's no area, that means it's only an Issa Dirabana. It depends, sometimes there's no area, sometimes it's Deraisa. Let's say we're dealing with an area that's only a Dirabana, big problem in the first place. So comes the Kibbegman says, so they ask the child to carry the Siddur, the Chumash, or the Sefer for me, so that I should use it. That's a problem. That's also even according to the Rashba, Lahachil, Yadayim, Letzor, Chagodol. But let's say the child's 10 years old, he wants to daven also. So I'm going to ask the child to bring the Siddur for his own use. So the child's going to use the Siddur. So says Rabbi Kiveger, he thinks Bishas Chach, he can be naked like the Rashba. And then once the child is bringing it for himself, so I can't live on the child to make a basic. Since he's doing it basically for himself, and I'm also going on and jumping on the net wagon, so he thinks the Koshi Gobble Yesh Lachal. So that's why Koshi Kiveger, I think the children's story may be mutter, because the fact that there was an Arab in town of Brisk means that it was only the Rabban anyway, because it would be Rosh Hashanah Der Aisa, so then you couldn't have an Arab Mechalal. So in the case of the Arab in Brisk, it was only the Rabbanan. So you're asking the child to bring the children for himself, for herself. She also wants to eat the children. Nico, that she's bringing the children for herself, I'm going to eat some of the children also. So I'm not sure that we can make it with the case. So Reb Chaim held, she was Machal Shabbos Deraisa, and I'm not sure that everyone would agree to that. But as a general rule, the Mishnah Berurah is naked of the Kosher Gadol in these kinds of situations, provided that it's only Nisid the Rabbanan, and provided that it's the Tzara the Kadol.
So you would give the child, say, a sitter in a bag, with your sitter in a bag also?
That's a shot of Rebbe Bashir and Vayotzal. Is that really Rebbe Bashir and Vayotzal? It's a difference. I love the Shishan. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would just use the child's sitter also.
Why do you look like a shul or sort of problem? Is it better to ask a child or not you?
You have to ask the guy. It's the way it is.
No, not to ask a child, but like, do this thing.
It's not talking. It's not going to work. Ask the guy.
This cousin though, still like video Yochim.
Which cousin?
Carrying the sitter.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that if he's low in Yilchinuch, how's he not paying? So he's not me using Yilchinuch.
So now is that okay? Why didn't I have to use Yilchinuch?
Yeah, it's poor Chinuch. I don't understand that either, yeah. I'm not sure why I should be Muslim. You have to look at every Kivega. It's the Be'alach, I don't know, it's not a member of Kavos. I put it on. And Simen Shinem Gimel, what's the Shiv Kivega? The Kavshi Gavon. There's another general issue concerning children on Shabbos. That's the last time I'm coming to Simon Shimon Bachas, which is what we spoke about, I think it was last year. What did we do Chol last year? Right? 2 years, whatever it was, that there is a cloud aloha that Tzorchei Chatan are considered to be like a Tzorchei Chol on Shabbos. How old is the Chatan for these purposes? It's not exactly clear in the poskim, but younger children clearly fall into this category. Whatever we're permitted to do with Tzorchei Achola, even a Chola Sheim Besekona, we would be permitted to do a Tzorach HaKotan as well. So, what exactly are we permitted to do for a Tzorach HaKola? So again, we gave a whole contemporary halacha about this last year, 2 years ago. So we'll just give Mamash the Rosh HaBrachim right now. The Gemara says, whenever you have a Chola Sheim Besekona in Shabbos, you're allowed to ask a goy to do things on your behalf. So basically, what that would mean is that any time there's a significant need for a Kotan, a Kotan needs food, needs other things, sleep, whatever the case may be. So let's say for argument's sake, there's you have to turn on the light or something, you have to have some to take care of the children's needs. So anything good would be have to go more. It's a tzorach hastam, tzorach katan. Again, I'm not talking about a 12-year-old katan, a younger katan. It doesn't have to be mamash an infant, but on the younger range of katanim. So their physical needs are considered to be a chalash shein b'sakana, and therefore really apple would be permissible outright. Yeah, all those things would be mutter because it's called tzorach hachola, because the child's mamash an chola, look after those things. But yeah, I think all those kinds of things would be mutter. So to put creams on. You can ask a guy, you have a guy around, you can ask a guy to do it. I think it's at the gamma.
You should do it kalakhiyah.
You can ask a guy to do it outright, somehow. Well, if there's a guy there, then you ask a guy to do it. There's no guy. So then, there is a big machlek as a poskim about doing other things kalakhiyah. Let's say you have there's no guy around, and you want to know, can I do a particular malach kalakhiyah? So the simple reading of the Ramban is that it's mutter for Chol Sheim B'Sekhana. So anything that's done there, Shinui, is going to be mutter. Even something which would otherwise be a deraisa, let's say these creams, if they shall be deraisa, machik perhaps, possibly. So as long as you do it with the back of your hand, you're up with something, so that would be totally mutter for a Chol Sheim B'Sekhana. And by extension, to a Tzorach HaKotan would be considered to be a Chol Sheim B'Sekhana as well. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Ramban the way it appears in the Ramban. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban, but he quotes a little bit of a different version of the Ramban that we have to take to Torah Sa'adam. So the way the Shulchan Aruch presents the Ramban, so it comes out that Yisurim Deraisa Derashinai are prohibited for the Cholim or for the Tanah by extension. The only things that are Mutter Derashinai are only Yisurim Derabbanan. It means if you have something which itself is an Yisurim Derabbanan, and then it's like a double Derabbanan, Shus Neshvost. If you do a Derabbanan Derashinai, then the Shulchan Aruch is willing to be Mego for a Cholim Shem Vasekar by extension to a Tzorach HaKata. So as we pointed out in the shiur last time, is that even though Shulchan Aruch says this, even though Mishnah Berurah goes along this route, there are other people who are makel in Tal and others who are makel based on the Ramban himself. If you look in the original version of the Ramban, which I don't think the Shulchan Aruch had access to, he's quoting Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Ramban. If you look at the Mamash in the Ramban itself, in the Torah Sadr, it's clear as day that the Ramban was makel even under Araisas, as long as it's under Ashinoi, Bimbakam Chayla Sha'in by Sakana. So those who are stuck and want to be relying on this Ramban, I think have a right to do so. So let's say you have this ishaka all the time with kids, you have some kind of a significant need, these other things, and there's no going around to do it conveniently, so then one can do any of these things as long as it's done. Kill yachayat. Very common child that comes up in this area is the issue of the nebulizers. So many kids cough a lot, they have to be put in these coughing, like kids call them the coughing machine, but they have to call these machines every couple of hours. So it's usually, unless you have mamash or goy living in your house, who's going to be willing to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so it's going to be very inconvenient to do that. And the problem is you can't leave the machine running the entire Shabbos, it's going to break the mechanism, and you can't really put it on a Shabbos clock, so it's not so easy to do. So nice if your kid has a bad cough, and you're going to have to put this machine on and off for the Shabbos. So I think the only thing you have to rely on is you have to rely on these mekilim to say as long as it's done there shinoi. So basically, you have to do is you have to turn it on, you have to leave it plugged in before Shabbos. You hit the switch with your elbow to turn it on, and you have to hit the switch with the elbow to turn it off. Because if you leave the whole machine on for 3 hours, the manufacturer says, I think it's going to break the machine. So if it breaks the machine, then you won't have it for the morning. So it's also called the tzarche chola. So late brera, I'm not so thrilled about doing this, but you have no choice. But if you have a child with a doctor says it has to have these coffee machines every couple of hours, so that's called a tzarche chola, tzarche chazan, and therefore bikoshi, one could be matter, even squish, maybe a shot of their ice sometimes. Some of these things are, they definitely involve electricity, they may involve other possible lochas. So late brera, one would have to be making like those possible against the Mishnah or against the Shulchan Aruch, that even if some potentially assume their ice, as long as they've done their shin, it would be okay.
Here,
Rav Moshe didn't like that kind of a shin. Rav Moshe said that if you turn on a light with an oval, then maybe a shot of their eyes. But the Pashas are not like that. Pashas is like the Egmetal writes that Rosh Hashabbos, even a shin that doesn't change the outcome of the malacha, it's just a shin of the galva, is also considered to be a shin. I think you have a right to, again, these all shots of chav situations. I think you have a right to rely on this. We're not sure there's any real near ice taking place. Anyway, it's only electricity, which point to many of them. And those who know about these nebulizers, so it causes a steam, but it's not a hot steam, right? Right, so there's nothing real that's been cooked in there. So I'm not sure there's any near ice to take place in the hall. I don't like telling children to turn on to do this kind of things at jobs. I think it's poor healing for the end. So I would rather do it for the end. Kid to do kalechia. That's what we sometimes do. If your kid do kalechia, make a whole fuss about it, that you're not really doing malacha. Then of course the next day turns on the video kalechia. You have to be careful. You have to always balance chinuch and trialah. Okay. Right. So again, we try to get a little bit of an overview of certain specific shalos that come up, and then certain in general problems as well. Now, right?